Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. My guest today is Tashi Jamso, who is the chef at Enowa. Enowa is a beautiful new restaurant and hotel in Yuhuin, a remote town in the southern part of Japan. Enowa represents Tashi's unique culinary philosophy, which he has developed through his diverse experiences in the U.S. and abroad, including his career as a sous chef at the Michelin-starred Blue Hill at Stone Barns in New York. So today we'll discuss how Tashi, who's originally from Tibet, got into cooking, his idea of the desirable food supply system, and how he practices it at Enowa, the joy and the challenges of running a restaurant, hotel, and even a sustainable farm in a remote area of Japan, and much, much more. But before you start, Japan is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We truly appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Tashi Jamso. Hello, Tashi. Welcome to the show. So this is exciting. We met a long time ago at the Blue Hill at Stone Barns. So it's amazing how far you came and how you've been so successful. So to get to know you, where are you from, and what did you eat when you grew up?
Yeah, I was born and raised in the east part of Tibet, which is like a farming region. And I mean, grew up eating very, very typical Tibetan food, I think. Mostly butter tea with a lot of yak butter, yak cheese curd, yogurt. And also there's a typical Tibetan food called momo, which is like a Tibetan version of a soup dumpling, and also the Highland barley as well. We use to make a porridge out of it.
Oh, wow. So the Tibetan cuisine, you said that the yak milk and all those interesting, very highly, densely nutritious food is becoming a kind of a boom in the health community for a while. So yeah, that's amazing how inspiring you grew up in all those things. So when and why did you move to the U.S.?
I mean, I moved to the States when around 2008. And it was with my family, because my dad was already in New York. So we decided to migrate to New York with the whole family. So that's why, yeah.
Right. And was your father in the culinary industry or?
Oh, not at all. Was doing some other regular job.
So how did you get into cooking, and at what restaurants did you work in the U.S.?
Personally, I love playing sports, especially basketball. So like a sport that requires a lot of teamwork. And when I I got injured from basketball, and then I decided to work as a part-time in one of the restaurants called Boqueria. Under Jason, who is like a big brother to me, and then taught me a lot.
Right,
and,
wow, that's amazing. So Boqueria was the Spanish, right?
Yeah, Spanish tapas.
Right, that was really the Spanish cuisine was gaining a huge attention, and that was really a popular restaurant. So, yeah, it makes sense. You're very tall, so you're playing basketball and happen to be in this industry. That's what a coincidence. Okay, and so as I mentioned before, you worked at the Blue Hill Stone Barns, and Blue Hill at Stone Barns is a unique place in many ways. So, for listeners who are not familiar with it, it's a restaurant located at Stone Barns Center for Food and Agriculture, which is a non-profit farm education research center in New York. But Blue Hill at Stone Barns is far beyond a restaurant because the chef owner, Dan Barber, is a leader in sustainable agriculture and food supply system overall. So when you left Blue Hill Stone Barns, you had already a successful career as a sous chef. So what did you learn from the experience at the Blue Hill at Stone Barns?
I mean, it's most like a lot about the connection with the soil, I think. And also the whole experience of from learning about farming, harvesting, and cooking all at the same time.
Right. I think if I'm not wrong, the Blue Hill at Stone Barns, they surrounded by 800 acres of farmland, and they grow almost everything possible, from vegetables to sheep and cow. So you really, I'm sure, as a cook, you were really close to the source, literally the farm to the table, right?
Yes, it's exactly right. And we also had farm tours once in a while. And then, we just work with the farmer directly, and then bring whatever he harvested into the kitchen, and then use that for the day. Mm. And that was really, really special, yeah.
Right, so that's literally the whole foods cooking. Yeah, and then by the way, Dan Barber works with other seed makers and develop very sustainable and delicious seeds. And we can just actually purchase those vegetables at Whole Foods and other places too. So it's always inspiring by hearing the Blue Hill Stone Barns and the graduates like you from Stone Barns. There are something very different. I mean, very sustainably minded people. So it makes sense that what you're doing now at ENWA, which you're going to talk about, is what you're doing. So that's great. So you left Blue Hill at Stone Barns and opened a restaurant with Pepper Quip with another chef, Kevin Cheng. And you were successful, but shortly afterwards, you decided to leave and do something else outside of the U.S. So why did you leave and what did you do?
I mean, I took a break during while I was at Blue Hill to visit Japan to start in a couple of restaurants I was really interested in. And during that time, I really loved the culture and also the people here. And then thought to myself, maybe I want to come back here and work in Japan one day. So basically with the dream of sharing what I have learned from Chef Dan and also Blue Hill, then I decided to move on and then, work on something that I really, really believe in.
Right, but why Japan? That could have been other countries like France or Italy or maybe back in Tibet or something culinary rich. So why Japan?
I mean, as I mentioned, when I came to stage and travel around Japan when I was still at Blue Hill. I really, really loved, I mean, especially the, at the sake brewery called Dera Dahonke. I really, really loved the people and how, I mean, just everything about Japan. And I really wanted to experience not just be a tourist of Japan, but also be, I mean, a part of a society, a part of a, I mean, be, I just want to experience living in Japan.
Right. Actually, we had a guest from Tera Dahonke. He was a Krabito, the brewer's assistant before. And it's an interesting place because it's so traditional, yet so open-minded, forward-minded. So it's a good mixture of someone like you who you understand the tradition and also you have something in the future to develop something further. So that makes sense that you're attracted to Japan. So where did you work after you left the U.S. and to start and before you opened Enwa?
I mean, right after I came to Japan, I mean, because it's right in between the COVID, so everything was really required. But I first stayed in Osaka for half a year. Then I helped out in a small restaurant called Hatsu, which had one. I mean, it's they are the chef is really into fermentation, and then serving this all fermentation inspired food. Then after that, I moved down to Kyushu in Beppu for first 2 years. I was helping out in one of the company's Japanese style ryokan. And then also visiting farmers at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, you went to Japan right after, right before the COVID started. So it's interesting that you really managed to get to experience everything, diverse culture in Osaka and also the fermentation, which is very foundational in Japanese food culture, and also ryokan, which is a Japanese-style hotel, which resembles what you do now. So it sounds like you didn't waste any time, despite COVID.
I had no experience in ryokan, so that was a very, very important experience for me, I think.
Right. Yeah, it's everybody who stays in at ryokan when they visit Japan. It sounds like it's a very, very unique experience. So yeah, basically, you live in your room, but everything served and set up by the service person. And one room changes quickly depending on the time of the day. And also services, really, they read your mind. So, yes, it's such an experience. So, listeners, if you haven't had ryokan in Japan, I highly recommend it. All right. So we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll dive into Enwa. That's a unique restaurant and hotel in Kyushu, Japan. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Aki Katayama, and my guest today is Tashi Jamzo, who is the chef at Enowa. Enowa is a beautiful new restaurant and hotel in Yuhuin, a remote town in the southern part of Japan. Okay, so let's talk about Enowa. So in June 2023, you opened Enowa, which is an auberge or lodging in English, which includes food and experience to stay there, and surrounded by beautiful sceneries of a southern part of Japan. So Enowa has elegantly designed 10 villas and 9 rooms that are surrounded by beautiful nature. So what is the concept of Enowa?
I mean, it's basically just continuing what I have learned when I was in the States. Keep doing the farm-to-table movement in Japan, yeah.
Right. So, and what's the meaning of Enowa?
I mean, N is the, how would you explain the,
it's
the fate?
Connection that happened to
this connection.
Right.
And the wa means a circle or a cycle. So Enowa means the cycle of fate or cycle of connection.
Right. So good human connection, being in a circle, everybody gets connected. That's really amazing. Yeah. Right. So Enowa is located in Yuhuin, in Oita Prefecture, which is the southern part of Japan. So what kind of area is Yuhuin, and why is Yuhuin the right location for the concept of Enowa?
I mean, for those people who have never been to Yuhuin, Yuhuin is a really, really beautiful little town in the Oita Prefecture. And it's very, very famous for its hot spring resort. And there are many, many great farmers in the area. Also, it's the town itself attracts a lot of tourists. That's one of the reasons that we decided to open here.
Right. So basically, if you go to Yuhuin, you can use the hot spring and you can see the beautiful scenery, like in mountains, and in four seasons as you get soaked in hot spring to heal yourself. So that sounds like a heavenly area to stay. Right. So according to Enowa's homepage, you offer menus that go beyond the concept of farm to table. So what do you mean by that?
I mean, for our ryokan, we have, the reason why I came here like 2 or 3 years before we opened, one of the reasons is that to start to get our farm going. We bought farmland in the center of Yuhuin, and then basically the menu all depends on whatever we grow on our farm, and then whatever we harvest that day.
Right. Whatever the nature offers you, and you have to be flexible to make the best out of it. Right. So what is the ideal food system that you'd like to realize at Enowa, meaning your ideal food system you saw at the Blue Fruit Stone Barns, do you think you're going to apply it to Enowa? And what is it that basically you just receive from the nature offers and cook as a chef to share with your customers? Is that the concept?
Yeah, basically share whatever we grow on the farm. I mean, just showcase the what's happening on the farm, and also the farms around us directly to our guests through our food.
Right. Well, I think we have to really discuss your farm. So you run your own farm at Enowa with a consultation of a special farmer. Could you tell us about your farm operations? Maybe also including that the special farmer. The famous farmer from Kyoto, I think.
Yeah, the farmer's name is Ishiwari-san, and we met through one of our mutual friend, And then before I came down to Kyushu, I visited his farm many times, and I really, really liked the way he operates his farm. And then we decided to bring him down to Kyushu and then have him teach more, teach us a little bit more about the Japanese way of farming.
Right. So Mr. Ishiwari is really a kind of god of farming in Kyoto, and the kaiseki, famous Michelin star kaiseki chefs all go and buy from him. So he really is the quintessential knowledge and skills and respect. He really is the special farmer. And you brought him. He's all what he can offer to anyone. So yeah, it really means that you know the foundational Japanese farming. And how you
We are always learning so much from him whenever he visits us.
Right. So is it worth doing? Because farming is really labor and time consuming. Is it worth it for you?
Yeah, totally. And to be able to, not just me, and have the cooks go to the farm before we start the day and then harvest whatever we need is such a unique experience.
Right. But I'd imagine you cannot serve everything on your plate, cook by cooking your harvested produce throughout the year. So, and you also have the network farmers, right, do you work with? So do you want to talk about them?
Yeah, there are a few farmers in Yufuin and also a few farmers in within the Oita region that I work with, work with directly. The one in the farmer from Yufuin, he is actually a retired retired from a sea company, and then he used to travel around the world and then to experiment the seeds from the sea company. So he knows, he has not a lot of knowledge about seeds and farming. So it's always very, very interesting to have a conversation with him about seeds.
Right. Oh, wow, that's interesting. It's not just growing something that already exists, but you really have to think of the whole system of over time, the history of how things grow and how things develop. And then you can pick and choose what to grow in the future. So, okay. And so I would imagine you just came from New York and you didn't spend 10, 20 years. So how did you build the network of farms that you work with?
I mean, so it's just like the name of our ryokan, Enowa. It's just whenever you meet someone, then that person introduces you to the next person. So this kind of network just slowly expands. So I'm really, really grateful for the amazing people here.
Right. Wow. So I happened to find your the social media post, and you're very active in community support as well. And for example, you had a food education event with the university and the welfare facilities the other day. So it sounds like you're very active in actually creating the network of people to make it something positive and productive and good for everybody. So do you want to talk about the one with those activities, community activities?
Basically, we just invited there's a university in Beppu called APU, Asia Pacific University. It's an international university with students from all over the world. And I mean, I'm lucky enough to have develop some close relationship with the professor there. And once in a while we invite the students and also the professors to come to our farm and then invite them to harvest the vegetables and everything from the farm and bring them to the kitchen. do some cooking together and basically just sharing a simple meal.
Mm. But you involved also children, right? We can enjoy
yes. the food. This last two times we invited the children from the welfare center as well.
Mm.
They are the kids that they feel left out in the society. So, yeah, I think it was...
Right. So maybe you're raising future chefs looking up to you and then, well, maybe that's their dream now. So who comes to ENWA as guests?
As guests, there are many people who are interested in the new luxury hotel and just wanted to experience that kind of a luxury hotel.
Mm.
And also right, there like are people who are really interested in the kind of food that we do and also the what we are working on. So, yeah.
Mm. Right, so from all over the world or still within the country, maybe because of the COVID?
I mean, yeah, in the beginning was... because of COVID and everything, it was mostly Japanese guests. But slowly, we started to have a lot more international guests visiting us recently.
Mm, right. Well, I hope you can handle really drastically increasing number of tourists. I really keep hearing, and Japan is totally filled with excited travelers. Who's been holding their desire to come to Japan. So yeah, I'm sure you'll be busier and busier and hope you can have time to sleep. So what are the biggest challenges in running a restaurant of your own, your place, not at the Stone Bars, but you run everything yourself, right? So what are the biggest challenges for you?
I mean, for the moment, it's... team building, I think, and then bring everybody to the level that you wanted, and then yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge for the moment.
Mm. So, do you have all Japanese stuff, English speaking Japanese people, or what kind of a composition you have in your team?
I mean, in the kitchen and also in the dining room, we have mostly Japanese staff, and also, but at the same time, we have a few international staff who speak quite fluent English.
Hmm. Right. Sounds like it by itself is ENWA, a network of people expanding the opportunities and possibilities. What you can offer at ENWA. So what is the biggest joy in running ENWA?
I mean, for those people who come visit ENWA, they stay overnight and then not just have a dinner. They will also have a breakfast at ENWA. And also right before they check out, I'll go say goodbye to them and then... like whenever they say it's one of the best experiences that they had, and also they really enjoyed everything. I think that those kind of a moment was very, very rewarding.
Right. Yeah. I heard in Japanese there's a word shake, meaning borrowing the scenery. So because your place is surrounded by beautiful mountains and greens and everything you want from nature, it sounds like and your guests can enjoy far beyond good food and beautiful rooms, but you are part of that Yufuin nature, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Mm. Hey, by the way, I was surprised that before we started the show, we had a chat that you didn't speak Japanese fluently before you came here, but in a matter of 4 years, you can write in Japanese very fluently too. So any tips for our listeners who wants to study Japanese to do something in Japan?
I mean, in the beginning, I just, I started from like, I learning writing hiragana, katakana, very, very simple words, then slowly able to do some spelling, and also with a lot of help from the kitchen staff and also people surrounding me, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and
it's just, just better to put yourself in the situation, and then I think that's the best way of learning.
Right. So the situation is unique because you are surrounded by the farmers who speak the dialect, Yihuin dialect. So, Oitaben. So, yeah, it must be really a very quick bootcamp experience. But I think your willingness to offer something special really helped to nurture your social skills and not just language skills, I would imagine. So, what are your plans and dreams?
I mean, for the moment, my biggest dream is just to share what we do and what we believe with more and more guests from all over the world whenever they visit Yifuin.
Right. So would you like to do more community activities?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with the same activity that we did, we are planning to do that every 2 to 3 months to keep that kind of fun events going.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it sounds like you are, just like Blue Hill Stoneburns, it's more than just the restaurant and hotel. You have expanded community of people who are interested in, I think, the future of food system. So where can we find your updates online and on social media?
I mean, I'm not a big Instagrammer, but I post once in a while on Instagram.
Okay, so the handle, is it enowa.yuhuin?
Yeah, enowa.yuhuin.
Okay, so it's enowa.yuhuin, so Y-U-F-U-I-N, enowa.yuhuin. And you have a beautiful website, that's enowa-yuhuin.jp. So, well, good luck, and thank you so much for joining us today, Tashi.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's very, very nice talking to you.
So. Yes, hope to see you at Enwa sometime soon.
Thank you. See you.
Listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@theheritageradionetwork.org or kikotema.com. Japanese is a weekly program and it's always available at theheritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Armin Spenjan, and thanks for listening. I will see you next week.
Japan Eats is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
This episode of Japan Eats was made possible with the support of Dasai. Dasai supports HRN's creative, educational reporting and storytelling that drives conversations to empower, educate, and entertain through food-focused podcasts and world-class education programs.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.